points. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 46, the next part of our study in Joseph's life. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes." Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt. Jacob and all his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, all his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. And it goes on to mention the names of those who are with Jacob down to verse 27, but for sake of time, I'm not going to go through the list of names this morning. So why are you here? If you are here because you love tradition, you love the establishment, you love the rules and all of these things, then change is going to be a really painful process, because actually what you have built your church life upon has been, or might be, I don't know what change is going to look like, but it's going to be tampered with. But if it is all about Jesus for you, and Jesus is the main thing, and you keep the main thing, and then everything else is just secondary. But the main thing in your life, and the reason you are here, is to worship Jesus, to meet Jesus, to learn more about Jesus, to encounter Jesus' presence, to follow Jesus, to be guided by Jesus, to have your life changed and transformed by Jesus. Then that makes all the difference, because it doesn't matter what change we go through with the structures and the establishment and the denomination and all of these things. Jesus stays the same. Your constant stays the same. See, friends, religion cannot save you. Being a member of the Church of Scotland is not going to get you into heaven. Being christened or baptized as a Wayne in a parish church is not going to save you. Being a member of the guild or the choir or this committee or that committee or helping build the beautiful building of Sandy Hills Parish Church by doing jumble sales and all these things, that isn't going to save you. It is only a relationship with Jesus, faith in Christ alone, that can save us. And that is what we build our lives upon, is Jesus. Not our traditions, not our history, but Jesus. The moderator, Martin Fair, at the beginning of the General Assembly on Friday evening, he said this statement: mission over maintenance. Mission over maintenance. And then he went on to say, we have to refuse focusing on self-preservation. We have to refuse focusing on self-preservation. If we are honest, we have been focusing on self-preservation as a denomination. And we need to change. And somebody said, we need to change because what we've been doing hasn't been working. If Jacob had focused on self-preservation, if Jacob or Israel had focused on self-preservation, he would not have made the trip to Egypt, because he would have been focusing on himself. I'm too tired. I'm too old. I can't be bothered. Why doesn't Joseph just come to me? I'm so much older than he is. He is so much more fit, so much younger. It is easier for him to come to where I am than for me to go to where he is. But you see, the life was found where Joseph was. The transformation that God had for his people was found not where Jacob was sitting, but Jacob had to go to where God was guiding him. As challenging, as tiring, as difficult as that was, Jacob had to get everything he had, his whole family, all of their possessions, all of their goods, and off they went. I want to speak to you this morning for a few moments. If you're part of our congregation and you have been, I'm thinking of a diplomatic way to say this, if you have been in part of our church for a long time, if you are young at heart, if you've been around for a few years, I know because I speak to many of you that many of you are, you're tired. You're waiting for the youth to come forward and step forward and to take the baton that you have so faithfully run with. And I want to start by saying we love you. We cherish you. I don't want Sandy Hills Church to be a church just for old people or just for young people or just for middle-aged people. I think as we see in Scripture, which is one of the reasons that we have not gone back to worship in our building yet, is that God is the God of the generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We love you. I love you. And I thank you. I thank you for your faithfulness and your commitment and your passion for Jesus and stepping out in faith and being bold enough to go, do you know, we're going to tear down our church building. We're going to step out in faith and we're going to trust that God's going to provide the finances for us to build our new church building. And it came in a matter of years. So I thank you. But we need you. We need you. We need your prayers. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your support. And we need, I was going to say permission, but I think the right word is your blessing. There is huge change coming to us as a denomination. And we need your blessing. You have a huge part to play in the church of tomorrow becoming the church of today. Then Martin Fair last night said this at his closing remarks. He said this, God is not finished with us yet. God is not finished with us yet. Is that how you feel? I'm not just speaking to those who are young at heart. Maybe you are a young person this morning and you just feel that you've been abandoned and that God is finished with you. Let me tell you this, God is not finished with you yet. He is not finished with us yet. I truly believe, as the praise song sings, greater things are still to come. Greater things are still to be done in Sandy Hills Parish Church. But it needs all of us. It needs all of us to push forward and pull forward together in the same direction in unity. Because where God's people dwell in unity, there his blessing resides. I think that's how Jacob felt. I think Jacob felt that God was finished with him. As we've journeyed through with Joseph and we've seen glimpses of his father Jacob, we see the hurt, the broken heart, the misery that he felt, looking down to Sheol, the place of death, and saying he wouldn't even have peace if he died. I think he felt that God was finished with him. But God was not finished with Jacob, and God is not finished with you, and God is not finished with me, and God is not finished with his church in Sandy Hills and his church in Scotland. And as we thought about last week, the last wee part in verse 27 at the end of chapter 45 about Jacob's heart being revived. I pray this morning by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would revive our hearts, that you would fan a passion for your name in our hearts, Lord, that you would fan it into flame. Lord, if it's just embers, would you revive us, Lord? If we're feeling tired and feeling that you are finished with us, God, would you give us that peace of mind and that passion in our hearts to know, God, that you are not finished with us yet, but you have greater things in store for us because we are your people. And I love Jacob's first reaction. What does he do? His first action in verse 1, he goes and he offers a sacrifice to the Lord. His heart is revived and he goes off to worship. He is getting into that place of worship because everything that we do needs to flow from a place of worship. Everything we do needs to flow from a place of intimacy with the Father, a place of love for Jesus, and a place of the presence of the Holy Spirit and dwelling with them, because that is what God wants for his people. Jacob, off he goes. His heart is revived and he goes to worship. He goes to worship. You see, a heart that is on fire for the Lord is a heart that is bursting out with the praise of Jesus. I know that that's what many of us are missing on a Sunday morning just now. Many of us are missing gathering and singing praises to the Lord. But friends, worship isn't just about songs. Worship is not just us singing praise to the Lord, as beautiful as that is, and as important as that is, and as biblical as that is. That is not solely what worship is. Worship is our life's offering to Jesus, our life's offering to the Lord. Romans 12 says that we are to be called, therefore be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. Worship in Scripture is sacrificial. Worship in Scripture is sacrificial. You look through the whole of the Old Testament and read the sacrificial system and about the cost that the people of God had to make when they were offering worship to the Lord. It was costly. It was the best of the best. The firstborn and the animals, the lamb without blemish, the perfect sacrifice that they could give. Look at Cain and Abel. What was the worship that was pleasing to the Lord? The worship that was costly. Does your life look like a sacrifice for the Lord? Maybe God this morning is challenging our priorities. Maybe God this morning is challenging our giving. Maybe the Lord this morning is challenging our language and how we speak or our actions. You see, all of these things, they're part of our worship. Our time, our talents, and our money. That is what we meant to give to the Lord. Everything that we have, it's meant to be the best of the best. It's meant to cost us. See, too many people settle for convenient worship or convenient Christianity, and that is not biblical worship. God wants everything that his people have. I've said this before. I've heard someone say that salvation is a free gift that will cost you everything. So Jacob goes to worship and he offers a sacrifice to God, the God of his father Isaac. And again, we see that intergenerational, that continuity that was there. And God speaks to Jacob. Jacob, Jacob. And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "I am the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I will myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes." God says to him, "I've still got you. Things might look different than how you expected, Jacob, but my plan and my promise is still the same. It is to make you into a great nation. That is what I swore and I covenanted with your grandfather, Abraham, and I said it to your father, Isaac. And Jacob, it is the same for you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. That hasn't changed. My plans are still working. And God tells him not to be afraid, and he gives him four reasons, and we're going to focus very briefly on those four reasons this morning about why he shouldn't be afraid. The first is this: I will make you into a great nation. Do not be afraid. I will make you into a great nation. And God here shows his continuing faithfulness towards Jacob. He shows his continuing faithfulness towards Jacob. It might not look like it, but Jacob heading to Egypt was a big step of faith. The place Canaan, where they had been, that was the place that God had promised Abraham that they would receive for his descendants. But he also says, I think it's in Genesis 15, and we've spoken about this before as well, that God had, although he'd said that this is going to be the land I'm going to give you, there's going to be some 400 years where your descendants are going to be sojourners in a land that is not theirs. And this is the part and the next stage in God's plan. Jacob is heading off to Egypt. He's stepping in faith, out in faith. He's leaving what he thought was where God had called him to be, but actually it wasn't time yet. And off Jacob goes, stepping out in faith and heading to Egypt because he has the assurance that God is going to make him into a great nation. And as we said, God gives us a word to carry us through a season. He gives us a word. Don't be afraid, Jacob. And off Jacob goes to Egypt. And he goes with a very different attitude than Abraham had when Abraham had to go to Egypt when a famine was around. That's in Genesis 12. There was a famine. Abraham and Sarah, his wife, go to Egypt. And Abraham is so fearful that he tells Sarah to lie about being his wife and pretend to be his sister so that no harm would come to him. And God is saying to Jacob, don't be afraid to go to Egypt. I'm with you. And he reaffirms that I've got you and my plan for you is a plan of greatness. And it isn't going to be anything that Jacob does himself or Jacob's descendants do themselves. I will make you a great nation. And here we have the second point. I myself will go down with you. There is a promise, assurance of the presence of God with his people. It doesn't matter what change we go through or what happens to us in this life. We have been promised by Jesus, I think it's at the end of Matthew's gospel, I'll be with you even to the end of the age. The promised presence. And then God poured out his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And we have the blessing and the assurance of God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us. We're not alone. We're not alone. I love how personal God is. And maybe this morning you don't know God in a personal way. Maybe you just hear other people speak about him as if they talk about him as if he's their father or he's the biggest love of their life. I want to tell you this morning that God wants you to know him personally. He wants you to have a living relationship with him. I myself will go down with you, Jacob. Don't be afraid. I'm going to make you into a great nation and I'm going into Egypt with you. I'm going to be with you in this season. And yes, they would go through afflictions. Yes, they would go through hardship. But what does God say to Jacob? I will be with you. I'm going down with you. I myself. And God's plan for his people is greatness. Not our personal greatness, not our own fame, or becoming famous in the worldly sense of greatness, but to enjoy the greatness of his glory and the greatness of his presence. God said to Jacob, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And do you know what the greatness about God's people is? It is the promised presence and the promised dwelling of God with his people. His covenant motto is, I will be their God and they will be my people. It is a personal relationship that God has with his people. And he's calling them onto greatness. Then thirdly, I will also bring you up again. I will bring you up again. We have this assurance. I'm going with you. I'm going down with you, but I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to bring you back up again, and it's going to be me. You see, they actually don't do anything. It is God who makes them a great nation. It is God who is going down with them, and it is God who will bring them back out of this difficult time, as we would see as we journey through the rest of Scripture. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That is what God says to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That promised assurance of God's presence with his people, it is all the difference. And if it is his presence we're focusing on, it doesn't matter what structural changes or things that seem to be different in our church building or how we worship on a Sunday morning, because his presence is with us. That is the main thing. Sandy Hills, will you keep the main thing, the main thing? You know, thankfully I haven't heard it that many times in Sandy Hills. But as I journeyed through training, I know I'm not a typical Church of Scotland minister. Some people would say to me, I didn't like worship this morning. I didn't like that song that we sung, or I didn't like it to that tune, or I didn't like this and I didn't like that. And the first few times I apologised, and then I got to the point where I said this, and it might sound blunt, but I'm not sorry for it. I remember a man coming up to me at the end of my time. He was a visitor in one of my placement churches. And he said, I didn't like worship this morning. And I responded by saying, that's okay, it wasn't for you. This isn't about us. This is all about Jesus. Let us keep the main thing, the main thing. And we have his presence with us, and he will bring Jacob and his descendants back up again. And in here, sorry, I said he'd bring Jacob back up again. That isn't necessarily true. He would bring him to be with him. But him saying, I will bring you up again, he's speaking about Jacob's descendants and his people Israel. And here we have a personal prophecy that God gives, and he's pointing forward to the Exodus that we would read with of Moses, where he would bring his people out of slavery in Egypt and eventually into the promised land. I realize that time is ticking on this morning, but there's a few more things that I want to say, and I ask that you would give me grace just to be able to say them. Jacob had nothing to fear. Why? Because God was with him. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You see, in Christ, our past is dealt with, our future is secured, and our present has his presence. Our past is dealt with, our future is secured, and our present has his presence. Where else do we get any assurance in this life? I wonder if those of you who have children or who have had children, you'll probably have been asked the question at night time where your child or maybe those you were looking after said that I'm scared of the dark, will you stay? Thankfully, Joel doesn't normally say that, but there's a couple of times where he has, and we've had to sit with him until he has settled down or gone to sleep. And you know, I don't do anything other than sit beside him. The only thing that is actually reassuring him is my presence with him. You see, it doesn't matter what we go through in this life We have the promised presence and the assurance of God's presence with us because he will never leave us and never forsake us. And then finally, verse 4. Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. That's what God says to Jacob at the end of verse 4. Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. And this is a personal word that God gives to Jacob. You have been through heartache and heartbreak, and you have been through misery, Jacob. I have seen. But I want to give you the assurance and that speak peace to your soul that it is Joseph himself that shall close your eyes. This is a personal one for Jacob, that God would restore his heart. God will mend his broken heart. That son that you thought was dead, Jacob, it's true, he isn't. And it is going to be him that is with you when you slip away into my presence for eternity. And in this promise, there is a promise of peace that God gives Jacob. I wonder this morning, are you tired? Well, I want to say to you, God isn't finished with you yet. How you serve him might look very different than it has over the last 50, 60, 70 years or whatever it is. But while there's breath in our lungs, we serve and we praise the Lord. There is change that's going to happen. Things are going to look different. But let us keep the main thing, and that is Jesus. And the proclamation of God's word and the praising of his name. That will never leave Sandy Hills Parish Church. For as long as I am minister here, God's word will be preached and we will praise his name. And I know that we have a history and a heritage of that. And even if I was to leave tomorrow, which God willing I don't, but even if I did, I know that there is such a hunger for the word of God and the presence of God from the people of God in our congregation. We have the assurance of his presence. It doesn't matter what our building looks like or how we worship. He is with us until the end. One last thing. We see God here, and what I see in, as he speaks to Jacob, it is basically like he is just mending his heart. Joseph will close your eyes, Jacob. I wonder this morning, do you need God to mend your heart? Is your heart heavy? Is your heart broken? I pray that God, by his presence, by his Holy Spirit, would touch your heart and heal it. Because he is the way maker. We have so much to be thankful for in our congregation. God has been so faithful to us. And I know that that is not going to change. Because he is calling us on to greatness. And it's nothing to do with us. It is the promised presence and the assurance of his presence with his people. We look not to our glory, but to see his glory cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So Sandy Hills, let us keep the main thing, the main thing. It is all about Jesus. Amen. Our closing item of praise this morning is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.